Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're going to talk some football now with our buddy Brian Baldinger. Did you see, BT, before we get to Baldy, did you see him break down Evan Neal? I heard them talking about it on the morning show.
I did not.
Basically saying how bad Evan Neal was. We'll ask him about that right now as we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day, be delicious. Baldy, I do want to start with that Evan Neal thing. How bad of a pick was Evan Neal?
Well, I'll say this. His performance on Thanksgiving against Dallas is the single worst performance by an offensive tackle I've seen in the league this year.
Wow.
Because, like, you can't play tackle on the ground. Now, like, bad athletes are on the ground. You can't play on the ground. He's on the ground. I did a whole video. I didn't post it because it's too damning. But, you know, I mean, he can't hold his point. All right. I mean, he's off balance. It's not a good. Now, I don't know if he doesn't look healthy because nobody should be like thrown around the way he was thrown around. So I don't know if the ankle's healed, not healed. So I don't want to, you know, step on a guy that might be injured because it doesn't look like he can keep his feet in the ground right now.
I was going to say, like, is he weak? Is he slow? Does he have no anticipation? Is it check, 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 everything? Well, I mean, let me ask you this. What does he do well?
not much. I mean, he's not moving the line. You know, a guy that's 340 pounds, you think, you got some power. Yeah. You move the line of scrimmage, but he's not really a powerful guy.
Huh.
And then he's not really quick. And if people go, well, you can put him inside. Like, Mekhi Becton's playing great at guard. But Mekhi Becton has got elite movement. He just couldn't stay healthy.
Yep.
I don't know, but he's. I don't think he can go inside and play guard. I don't think he's quick enough to play inside against some of the guys, like Jalen Carter, Chris Jones, some of these guys you got to, Dexter Lawrence, guys you got to compete with inside that have got quickness. I don't know that he could go inside and you could hide him there right now.
You know, Baldy, I mean, it's just been a mess every which way you look with these teams. We started with the Giants, so might as well stick there. I mean, is there any way out of this thing? How much of it would you say is on the quarterback play? How much of it is on the head coach, the system? Where are you? It just seems like a total loss season and a mess in every which way, shape, or form. They're 2-10 now, another loss to the down Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Is there any way out for the New York Giants?
I mean, look, they got New Orleans this week. I don't know what kind of turnout you're going to get for the Saints. I mean, they've won a couple games under their interim head coach. They've got talent on their team. I mean, you got to find a way to win a game. You can't finish 2-15. You just can't. You got to find a way to win a game. And so, Drew Locke, they've got some talent with what Tracy's doing and what Malik can do, but it's not enough of it. And they've got liabilities right now. They commit a lot of penalties and they put themselves in negative situations a lot. And so, but you can't go 2-15. You can't go 2-15 and bring everybody back. As much as I know Mr. Mara would love to do that and not make another change, you can't finish 2-15. You've got to find a way to win one or at least two of these games here down the stretch.
Yeah, Baldy, so we had Jermaine Illuminor on earlier, and we've had him on a lot this year. And I asked him about the and he's actually looked pretty good on the film for you, right? It's just as a quick aside.
Jermaine's played well.
Yep.
I mean, he didn't want to have to go to left tackle. He had to because of the situation there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where he wanted to go. I mean, he was playing very good.
Yep.
You know, him and Van Roten were a pretty good right side.
Yeah, and I asked about the culture, and, and he gave us his answer, which I respect. Obviously, he's in it, so it's a little different maybe how we perceive it. I don't know that you can necessarily get a culture answer from film, but you can certainly get a sense of, you know, how much these guys are committed to one another, how hard they're playing. The Giants playing hard?
I think they're trying. I think defensively they can play harder for sure. But I think they're trying. I mean, you got to stay on the field on third downs, and they're terrible on third downs. You know, they can't sustain offense right now. Some of it is, you know, the quarterback play for sure. I mean, that's definitely been an issue. But the offense, I mean, it's everything. And so I think Dable's trying to do everything he can to, like, sustain some offense, to move the ball. But, you know, obviously it's, you know, this losing streak here, it's been ugly. And so it's hard to say, well, guys aren't playing hard. Well, I mean, you got to score points. You can't win games if you're not scoring points. They're not scoring.
Yeah, they're not. It's been, oh, my God, the Giants have been really tough to watch this year. I mean, the Jets have been maybe the biggest disappointment in the history of sports based on where they are and what the expectations were. Nobody had those for the Giants, so the Jets are a different eyesore. Let's get to them here. All right, so, listen, Rodgers keeps missing throws, and there's a lot of levels of breakdown here. You know, there's a part of me, and I don't want to necessarily watch Tyrod Taylor, although I do respect him, but there's a piece of me that wants to see Tyrod Taylor play to see at some point this year, like operationally, if the Jets do a little bit better with Tyrod's, it's almost like if Tyrod plays and he does okay, wouldn't that maybe be the final answer on Aaron Rodgers in a roundabout way?
Yeah, it would. I mean, for example, like it's 21-7. We know that, you know, Big Cat intercepts the pass. Aaron doesn't see him. He goes the distance. All right, 21-14. But the play before that, Aaron's got Garrett Wilson wide open. It's a double move. I mean, it's a gimme.
Yeah.
And he missed it. He flat out missed it. Now, you can say, okay, he had 70 completions to Devontae Adams. What's that all about? You can say they got it first and 10 at the 20, you know, with 2 minutes to go, or 30, with 2 minutes to go to go win the game, and you can't get a first down. Like, that throw, that miss to Garrett Wilson, to me, is everything you need to know about Aaron this year. Like, he never misses that throw. Like that, I mean, Garrett wins so easily. He's got so much room in the end zone to work.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you could throw that ball underhanded to Garrett.
Hold on a second. So is he missing the throw because he doesn't want to get hit and he's getting rid of the ball too early? Why is he missing that throw?
I feel like he's just rushing everything. Like, I mean, it probably does come down to not wanting to get hit, although he looked healthier than he looked all year in that game, his movement. But he's still, like, he's just rushing his throws. And I know he can live by his arm. He's got a good arm, okay. But who cares? Like if you're throwing a ball out of bounds to a wide open receiver in the end zone, it's not on anybody else but Aaron. And only he could tell you why he's missing that throw. But to me, it looks like he's just trying to get the ball out of his hands way too fast, rather than just taking and just making a nice, easy, you know, egg toss to Garrett Wilson in that situation. That's 28-7. I don't think Seattle's coming back from being down 28-7.
How about the defense there, Bolt? Last one on the Jets. Like, I can't even take the New York teams anymore. There's so much good football around. None of it's here, unfortunately, in New York. But last one on them. Why is their defense so bad this year?
Well, they're not tackling worth a darn. And they don't take the ball away. I mean, they've got 8 takeaways in you know, 12 games right now. You know, 8 takeaways. Like, they can't take – they don't even get the ball out of guys' hands. You know, fumbles, and they don't get their hands on any footballs. Intercept them. I mean, it's just they're at the bottom of the list. Only the Raiders are worse. Have fewer takeaways through these, you know, 12 games right now. That's one. And then the tackling is just atrocious. You know, to see him score that last touchdown right up the middle, I mean, nobody is putting the running back on the ground.
Did you jump into the college quarterbacks yet with the film?
I mean, there's Cam Ward in Miami and Shadur Sanders. Mm-hmm. There's guys, but I don't know enough about him yet. To see, you know, like, for example, like, if you're watching the development, you watched last night, Bo Nix, like, his development is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the first 2 weeks of the season, he literally could not complete a pass to a wide receiver. Now, like, the whole field's open up. He looks like he's playing Oregon State last night.
He looks great.
You know, in a shootout game. I mean, it's unbelievable to see the development. And so, I don't know how these guys are going to develop, you know, if they're, because at first I thought, oh, this Bo Nix thing is going to, not going to be a good experiment, but my golly, man, that guy is hitting every single moving target there is right now. Yeah. And his movement and arm are elite. So Like, I don't know how to project these guys yet because I haven't studied them hard enough.
No, understood. I just wanted to see if you had a cursory sense. Listen, by the way, I think Nick's played, what, 61 college games here? So that's a check in the column of getting some reps, something that Darnold didn't do coming to the Jets or Zach Wilson didn't do. I mean, now you need to pair it up with a great innovative mind like Sean Payton, but you get a guy who's got at least enough of the requisite talents, who's taken a lot of snaps and coached by somebody who knows what he's doing, it's going to probably go pretty well.
No, there's no question. I mean, the most starts by any college quarterback entering the NFL ever. And COVID helped, and he was at Auburn and Oregon, you know, so all that stuff helped him. But he used all of it, you know, and so he learned two different systems in college. He's learning a third system here with Sean. He coaches the quarterback hard, and I don't think things could have gone any better through these first 13 weeks of the season.
How about one more rookie quarterback, Baldy? You hear anything about Penix potentially taking over? Atlanta's lost three in a row. Cousins is just, I can't watch him. He's an interception machine. They should be better than what they are. Is Penix going to, and nobody's questioning that pick anymore, conveniently. Anyway, is he going to take over?
Well, here's what's interesting. So I did Minnesota's game last Sunday against Arizona. I talked to Sam Darnold on the field. Daniel Jones was there, the whole thing. But after I saw I saw Atlanta's game, and I saw Kirk Cousins. Like, and this is a big deal. And Atlanta's going back to Minnesota this week. It's the Kirk Cousins, you know, comeback here. And I'm saying they got to play Penix because I know Michael Penix. That kid, he was my favorite quarterback in the draft. Like, that kid is an elite athlete. He's got the best arm. He's smart as can be. Like, that kid might be able to rescue this team. Now, if they played him from the very beginning, I think they'd probably be winning the division handily. But I don't know if they could go to Minnesota right now and sit Kirk Cousins. I don't know that they could do that to him. But he was horrible last week. I mean, the pick six was awful, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah. And by the way, what did you think of Jones with the Vikings, Daniel Jones signing with Minnesota?
I think it's a good sign.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin O'Connell can flat-out coach. I mean, Sam has got, you know, I mean, obviously this is more than a renaissance. This is what he always wanted. But, you know, he's got great talent around him. He's got a great play caller. He brought the team like Aaron couldn't do last week against Seattle. Brought the team right down the field to go win the game. He came down to the final, you know, the final plays, and he made every play to go down there and win the game for him. And, you know, they got a nice shiny record, and they're going to have a chance to win the division before it's all over with Sam.
Yeah, Baldy, how about the NFC? How about the NFC West? I thought the Arizona Cardinals have been playing better. Of course, they lose two in a row. You get the Rams playing tough brand of football, coach very well. Niners falling, you know, off the face of the earth with the injuries, just maybe not their year. And Seattle, I mean, you saw the comeback. You mentioned it against the Jets. What are we looking at in the NFC West? Who do you think is the best team there?
Well, I think Arizona, like, can do it. They play Seattle at home this week. And if they win, both Seattle and Atlanta will, or Arizona will be 7-6, you know, with four games left to go. So, and there's a lot of division games in there. I mean, you can never count out Sean McVay. He found a way to win a game the other day. You can never count him out with Matt Stafford and Puka and Cooper Kupp. Like, they're always gonna be right there. So I think it's gonna come down to the final week of the season in the NFC West. But if Seattle goes and beats Arizona and gets to a 4-game win streak right now, then Seattle is probably gonna win the division.
What about just the overall, Baldy, top three teams in football? It seems like it's the Lions. It seems like it's the Eagles. And I probably put the Bills in there. I'd be curious to get your take and who you think right now would be playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, those are three.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships. And that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Three best teams right now. And all three teams, you know, have a legitimate MVP candidate, Jared Goff, you know, and obviously what Saquon is doing. And then if you, you know, look what Josh Allen's doing, all three of those guys could be the MVP of the league through 13 weeks. But, you know, they got a game Thursday night now. Detroit goes to Green Bay, and both teams can take the ball away. Both teams have quarterbacks that are playing really good football. I mean, that's going to be one of the games of the year on this Thursday night. Might go a long ways to deciding who's going to get home field advantage in the NFC right now.
That's going to be a fun one. Baldy, final thing for me. What do you think, whether it's a spot that's already opened up, probably not, or one that will, most appealing job destination this offseason will be where?
Well, I don't know. If Miami opened up, I don't know if it will, but if Miami opened up, they certainly got a lot of talent there, a lot of speed. it might open up. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I don't have any sort of premonition.
That seems like his quirky ways are getting a little played out down there.
But I mean, Chicago. I mean, maybe Thomas Brown is the interim head coach. We're going to see him this weekend again. You know, he's going to interview well. He's got this offense like back on track. Like Thomas Brown might win that job in Chicago, but I mean that's still an attractive job. They still have a lot of talent there and a young quarterback who's playing better under a good offensive coordinator and has a chance to play at a really high level. I mean, that could be a good job as well.
Let me ask you this, though. Then we know Dallas is a mess because Jerry Jones has been a mess for a while. If McCarthy, he's let go here, would he make sense for either the Jets or the Giants?
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. I'm not in love.
All right, tell me why. Tell us why.
I don't know. You know, the playoff performance, obviously, they've come up small underneath them. And that's what it's all about for any of these teams. I mean, you could win 12 games with Dak and, you know, and CD and, you know, a decent running back, Tony Pollard, when they had one, and Mike. And, you know, they had enough talent to go win 12 games. But, like, the playoff performances were awful. And that was with Kellen Moore. That was with him calling the plays. And you just wonder, like, is it enough? Does he have enough what Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, some of these coordinators, you know, Ben Johnson, some of these coordinators are out there that are lighting it up. Does he have enough of that in him to be innovative enough to turn either one of these programs around?
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, thank you. Looking forward to talking to you next week.
Good job, bud.
Got it, guys. Take care, man.
Yeah, there's a lot there, BT. I know we're all over the place. Well, I mean, the local team's just,
it's tough.
It's over. We know it. Nobody wants to see it. Now, I still believe in Rodgers, and that's a topic for a different day. But, like, we all know he's not going to be back in all likelihood. It's a matter of who's going to be running things for the Jets. Same thing with the Giants. We're just finding out. Like, if the Giants don't win this Sunday, then they're over, meaning Shane and Dable. How could they survive? They're not beating the Ravens. They're not beating the Colts. They're not beating the Falcons. Mm-hmm. They're not beating the Eagles. Even if the Eagles have nothing to play for, I still don't think the Giants are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Like,
I think even a win against New Orleans doesn't necessarily cement anything favorably for them. They could win this game, and they could still get blown out.
Right, but if it doesn't, if they don't win this game at home, they're probably going to go winless at home. Oof. How can you just, like, it's going to be the worst
winless
season in the history of the franchise.
It's like an expansion team,
dude. I don't
want
to talk about the Jets and Giants anymore with Baldy. We could have our conversation on our own. There's a lot going on around the league.
Another Thursday's game's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and you know what it makes me think of? That Thursday, like, everybody's looking at the lines, right? We do our power rankings. We'll do that Thursday again. We'll power up with the power rankings. Lions have been a top team for weeks now, 11-1, just looking dominant. Dude, Minnesota has not cracked either of our top five at all. And they're 10-2. They're right behind them.
You know, it's got to be the remnants of Darnold staying here.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, we know he's playing well, but we're a little reluctant to give it up.
All right, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll come back with more of your calls, BT and Sal on the Fan.